वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाषदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। विदुरोपि परित्यज्य प्रभाषे देहमात्मनः कृष्णावेशेन तच्चित्तः पितृभिः सक्षयं यजो। विदुरः व्हाइल ऑन पिलग्रिमेज लेफ्ट हिज बॉडी एट प्रभाष बिकॉज ही वॉज अब्सॉर्ब्ड इन थॉट ऑफ कृष्णा। ही वॉज रिसीव्ड बाय द डेनिजन्स ऑफ पितृलोक प्लैनेट वेयर ही रिटर्न्ड टू हिज ओरिजिनल पोस्ट। सो इन द पर्पोर्ट श्रील प्रभुपाद इज pointing out the difference between the Pandavas and Viduras. Although Vidura was a very, very exalted personality, but the position of the Pandavas were higher than his or superior to his, because the Pandavas are the eternal associates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Eternal associates means Nitya Siddha, that is, they are always in the spiritual sky with the Lord. And when they come to the material nature, they do not come due to the law of karma or due to their own forgetfulness of Krishna. But wherever Krishna goes, Krishna also takes them with him. Sometimes he may take them with him, sometimes he may not. It's up to him. A pure devotee's situation is that he is completely surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his will. A pure devotee or a liberated soul doesn't have any independent will. He is completely tuned to Krishna's will, and that is the meaning of Krishna consciousness. Consciousness is the symptom of the soul. Just as fire naturally radiates light, similarly a spirit soul naturally radiates consciousness. Sometimes that consciousness can become tinged or covered. Like when a living entity looks away from Krishna, and looking away from Krishna means looking into the material nature, he becomes conditioned. Just a small little mistake of just looking away from Krishna, a momentary glance away from Krishna, entraps a living entity into this endless bondage in the material nature. This has been very graphically explained as Krishna bohirmukh hoiya bhogobancha kare nikatastho maya tare japotiya dhare. Bohirmukh, mukh means, the word mukh means face. And bohirmukh means facing away. Like our face is towards Krishna, that's called unmukh, when you look towards Krishna. And when you look away from Krishna, that is, our face is turned away from Krishna. Then away from Krishna means Krishna's external image. It's everything is Krishna. Everything is Krishna's manifestation of Krishna's energy. The spiritual world is Krishna's internal energy, where Krishna is personally present and everyone is related directly to Krishna. That is the spiritual reality. And as soon as one looks away from Krishna, then he looks into the external energy of Krishna, which is somewhat like the reflection of the spiritual world. Now this energy, the external energy, is inferior by nature. Whereas the living entity is superior. He is coming from Krishna's superior energy. Although he is minute, but he is coming from Krishna's superior energy. Therefore, qualitatively living entity is superior to the external energy of Krishna, Maya. So when a superior comes across an inferior, then what happens? The natural outcome of that is that he develops a tendency to lord over. When a superior comes across an inferior, he tries to dominate over him. So similarly, as soon as a living entity looks at this material nature, which is inferior in quality, he develops a tendency to dominate over that. But by nature, he is not to be dominating, or he is not meant to be dominant. He is meant to be subordinate. By nature, by his natural constitutional position, a living entity is a servant of Krishna. But just by this momentary glance towards the material nature, a living entity develops his desire to lord over. And that causes him the first covering of the material nature, the covering of false ego. And this covering causes him to forget his actual identity, and he develops a mistaken identity. And that is exactly the meaning of the word ahamkar or false ego. A mistaken identity is developed. And that is the first covering. And now that he has developed this mistaken identity of thinking himself to be the lord and master of the material nature, now he begins to plan how he is going to establish himself and enjoy this material nature. And that causes him the second covering of the material nature called intelligence. And then through the agency of the mind, his consciousness constantly flows towards the material nature. And in this way he develops three subtle coverings of mind, intelligence and false ego. And then according to the shape of his subtle body, material nature awards him a gross body made of five gross elements, namely earth, water, fire, air and ether. So this is how a living entity becomes entrapped into the material nature. And although at the time of death he becomes free from the bondage of the gross body, but the subtle body continues. And it is the subtle body that carries the spirit soul to his next destination. The gross body dies, but the subtle body doesn't die. In this way, the living entity becomes very, very intensely bound to this material nature. And this bondage is practically impossible to free oneself from. And regarding that, Krishna is telling in Bhagavad Gita, mama maya durattaya, this influence of this material nature is impossible to surmount. And this maya is daivi maya, daivi hesha gunamai. It's Krishna's internal potency. Krishna's potency. Krishna's own energy. Mama maya, my maya, my energy. Therefore it's impossible to free oneself from this bondage of maya. But Krishna is saying, there is one way. There is only one way that a living entity can become free from this bondage of maya. That is, mame vaje prapadante maya metam tarantite. When one surrenders unto me, then he can become free from the bondage of maya. So this surrender unto Krishna actually means the process of Krishna consciousness. That is, the cause of a living entity's bondage is that he looked away from Krishna. Therefore, to rectify that situation, one has to simply look towards Krishna and never ever look away from him. That is the condition. And regarding that, Krishna is saying, Man Mana Bhavu, with your mind just think of me. Why? Because mind is the medium through which consciousness is flowing. So, it is the... Therefore, when the mind is projected towards Krishna, or mind through the mind the consciousness is projected towards Krishna, one actually is becoming situated in Krishna's internal potency. Now this is the normal condition of for a living entity to become free from the bondage of the material nature. But Krishna appearing as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made it even easier. Even easier in the sense, a living entity normally has to turn his face away from material nature and towards Krishna constantly. Now that was the requirement for devotional service. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and gave a very special kind of made a very special kind of arrangement. And that arrangement is called Sankirtan. Sankirtan means using everything for the sake of glorifying Krishna. Even though we may not be able to constantly think of Krishna with our mind, but whatever we are seeing, wherever our mind is, wherever our consciousness is, we can take that object and use it in the service of Krishna. So that is the special prerogative of being involved in Sankirtan movement. We do not have to turn our face away from matter and on towards the spiritual reality or the spiritual nature. Our face can be towards the material nature, but whatever we are seeing, whatever we are doing, through that we simply have to see Krishna and we have to use those objects in glorifying Krishna. This is how Mahaprabhu has created, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has created a very special good fortune for the living entities of this age. This possibility was not available in other ages. Not even in Satya Yuga or Treta Yuga or Dwapar Yuga. There one had to become qualified to become a devotee. Now that point has been established in this way, that in those ages the progression was gradual. Like, first one would be involved in the Karmakanda section of the Vedas. And then he would come to the Gyanakanda section of the Vedas. And the topmost activity of the Gyanakanda is the yoga, Ashtanga Yoga. And through Ashtanga Yoga, he would become completely free from the influence of the material nature, the bondage of the material nature. And he would see, he would withdraw himself completely from the material nature and project his consciousness inwardly, in the core of his heart, and there he would see the Super Soul. And there, by seeing the Super Soul, he would recognize his insignificant position as a spirit soul. The Super Soul is the supreme, and he sees himself as a minute. Like, as opposed to the material condition. The living entity sees that he is superior and the material nature is inferior. But by seeing the Super Soul, he sees the Super Soul or the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the supreme. And he is absolutely insignificant. Now, when one sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead and comes to this consciousness, then what happens? Then he surrenders himself. And this surrender is called prapatti or sharanagati. So this surrender is the very foundation of devotional service. Unless and until one came to that platform of surrender, one could not become a devotee. So that has been very beautifully explained by Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur as Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu জীবে দয়া করি সপার্ষদ শিয়ধাম সহ অবতরি অত্যন্ত দুর্লভ প্রেম করিবারে দান শিখায় শরণাগতি ভকতের প্রাণ। শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু জীবে দয়া করি, ইন অর্ডার টু বিস্টো হিজ মার্সি অপন দ্য লিভিং এন্টিটিজ, শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য মহাপ্রভু সপার্ষদ শিয়ধাম সহ অবতরি ডিসেন্ডেড উইথ হিজ অ্যাসোসিয়েটস অ্যান্ড অ্যাবোড অ্যান্ড অত্যন্ত দুর্লভ প্রেম করিবারে দান, ইন অর্ডার টু বিস্টো দ্য ভেরি রেয়ার লাভ অফ কৃষ্ণ, কৃষ্ণ প্রেম শিখায় শরণাগতি ভকতের প্রাণ। হি ইজ টিচিং দ্য প্রসেস অফ শরণাগতি, অ প্রসেস অফ সারেন্ডার, হুইচ ইজ দ্য লাইফ অ্যান্ড সোল অফ ডিভোশন, আর হুইচ ইজ দ্য ভেরি ফাউন্ডেশন অফ ডিভোশন। সো দিস ইজ হাউ শ্রী চৈতন্য মহাপ্রভু ইজ ক্রিয়েটিং অর প্রমোটিং আস টু আ ভেরি স্পেশাল সিচুয়েশন। ইন আদার এজেস ওয়ান হ্যাড টু গ্র্যাজুয়ালি বি প্রমোটেড, বাট হোয়াট শ্রী চৈতন্য মহাপ্রভু ডিড, শ্রী চৈতন্য মহাপ্রভু জাস্ট ক্রিয়েটেড দ্য গুড ফর্চুন টু প্রমোট আস ইন টু দ্য প্ল্যাটফর্ম হুইচ ইজ বিয়ন্ড দ্য প্ল্যাটফর্ম অফ যোগ সমাধি। In samadhi, a yogi would see the super soul, the supreme personality of Godhead, and then surrender, and then the bigger devotional service would begin. But here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is creating the good fortune by his magnanimous arrangement. So that is why this age is so special, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is so special, and the mercy of Srila Prabhupada is so special. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and distributed this Krishna consciousness only in the land of India when he came. And Srila Prabhupada came and by the divine arrangement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, fulfilling the prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he actually distributed this Krishna consciousness all over the world. So it's a very special prerogative, it's a very rare good fortune that the living entities in this age have received, especially after Srila Prabhupada's appearance, after Srila Prabhupada's propagation of Krishna consciousness in the world. So now to go back to that point, like generally a living entity, a Nitya Siddha associate, they go with Krishna. Wherever Krishna goes, and if Krishna wants, then he calls his devotees to come with him. Just as it has been mentioned about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Swa Parshad. Parshad means associates. Swa means along with. So he came along with his associates. Similarly, when Krishna comes, he also comes with his abode and associates. But other incarnations of the Lord normally don't do that. Sometimes they may do that, but not always. Like for example, when Lord Ramchandra came, some of his associates came with him. But when the Lord came as Varahadev, didn't. When the Lord came as Nrisingadev, he didn't come with his associates. He just came by just himself to deliver Prahlad Maharaj. And after delivering, he went back. But Krishna's pastimes is very special because he comes with his entourage and his abode. So same is with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Pandavas are Krishna's eternal associates. So when Krishna decides to perform his pastime, he tells the Pandavas also, okay, you all come along also with me. But the situation of the Pandavas are in Krishna's Dwarka Lila. But Krishna calls his associates from Vrindavan in his Braja Lila. And they are some very special devotees, the residents of Vrindavan. They are Krishna's most intimate devotees. So even among the Nitya Siddhas, eternally liberated devotees of Krishna, there are different grades, different classifications. Of them all, the residents of Vrindavan are the highest. And among the residents of Vrindavan, the gopis are the highest. And among all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the highest. So this is how there are different gradations or different stages of devotion among Krishna's associates. But at the same time, the personalities like Vidura, although a very exalted devotee, he was not a Nitya Siddha associate of Krishna like the Pandavas. But his situation was like when Krishna appeared, or before Krishna decided to appear, when Brahma came to him offering prayers, requesting him to come down to the earth planet to save the situation, save the very, very difficult situation in the earth planet. Then Kshirodakshay Vishnu announced from within the heart of Brahma, declared from the heart of Brahma that he would be coming, and he advised that tell the demigods to take birth in the Jadu dynasty. So in this way, the demigods who became eligible to be promoted to Krishna's pastimes got a chance to participate in Krishna's pastimes. And the demigods took birth in different ways. They took birth as in the Jadu family, Vrishni family, and some of the demigods here, as we can see, like Vidura. Vidura is actually Jamaraj, but Vidura took birth in the dynasty Dhritarashtra's dynasty of Shantanu, which is known as the Moon Dynasty, Chandravamsa. It is coming from the Moon God and Chandradev, and from him this dynasty came down. And Vidura was not a very clear. He was born in that dynasty, but he was not actually from the member of that family. Was actually the son of Vasudev, but he was born in the womb of a maid servant. Of course, here we have to understand that this is a very special kind of maid servant. The princesses, when they used to get married, their friends also used to sometimes come along with them in the family. So they're very exalted associates of the princess. So similarly, when Ambika and Ambalika got married to Vichitravirja, this mother of Vidura also was sent to or came along with them. And as you all know the incidents, briefly described, like Vichitravirja died without any progeny. So now there was a consideration how to maintain the family line, because the family line is very important. Because otherwise, if there is no offspring in the family, then the family line will be broken and the whole dynasty will be lost. So Bhishma was the first person that Satavati asked to impregnate in the field of Ambika and Ambalika. But Bhishma said that that I have taken a vow of celibacy, brahmachari, I can't. Now here is the irony also, that Bhishma had to take the vow of celibacy because her father, Satavati's father, was afraid that Bhishma's offspring could create some sort of disturbance in the family if they claim. Like first of all, he wanted that his daughter's son would become the king. So Bhishma agreed, fine, I will not have any claim. on the kingdom, on the throne. So Satavati's father, Dhivaraj, said, well, you may not claim your right over the throne, but what about your offspring? So then Bhishma took a vow that, okay, I won't get married. He took the vow of lifelong celibacy. Now here's the irony that Bhishma had to take a vow not to get married or took a vow of celibacy. And now, Vichitravijaya died without any issue. And so Satavati requested Bhishma, and Bhishma said, no, nothing doing, no, I can't. And so then Vasudev, who was also a son of Satavati from Parashar Muni, was called. And Vasudev impregnated these two queens of Vichitravirja, Ambika and Ambalika. But these two offsprings of Ambika and Ambalika were not completely immaculate, because when Vasudev came, Ambika, seeing his fierce appearance, became very frightened and she closed her eyes. And as a result of that, her son Dhritarashtra became blind. And Ambalika, seeing Vasudev's very fearsome appearance, fearsome in the sense he's a very wonderful personality, but he has matted hair, and this matted hair looks like blazing fire. Such a powerful personality, and she couldn't bear to withstand that, and she became pale. And as a result of that, her son became pale, Pandu, in complexion. And then Vasudev told his mother Satavati that this is what is happening. One son will be blind and the other will be livid, or not livid, but pale in complexion. So then Satavati said, okay, then you impregnate again. So now these two girls were so afraid, so they sent their maidservant. And due to the union, Vidura was born. And he was perfect in all respect. Anyway, these are Krishna's divine arrangements for sending his associates or sending